Long ago, Cryon said, don't read metaphysical material. And the reason for that is there's no delete key in your brain. So we don't want anything to be influencing my channeling. So you may be very up on some philosophies, some things, some authors, some ideas. I don't have a clue. So you're going to ask me these questions and I'll say, I don't know. I mean, there'll be those who say, this guy doesn't know anything. This is about what Cryon has said and the kinds of things that you've heard me talk about, perhaps. But I just want to warn you, if you ask me about something I haven't read, and I'm not supposed to read, that's what's going to happen. Also, I tend to be as complete as I can, so sometimes the answers are longer, only because I want to be as complete. If I don't know something, and I know part of an answer, I'll give you that. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to give Monica the mic, and let me just make sure we get it on here. There we are. Good.
He likes me to be the bad guy. So
be the bad guy.
If your
she has
question's
to
not answered, then I'm the one that's in trouble,
right? That's right. Don't talk to me about it.
Okay, so you had your hand up first.
Hello. Could you speak more about the Pope Francis?
Sure. She wants to know about... Hello. Justin, rewind. She wants to know a little more about Pope Francis. It was when we were at Francis Assisi's enclave is enclave the right word I would use? What would you use?
It's more the hermitage.
Yeah, it's a hermitage.
In Assisi, in Italy.
In Italy. And we've been there twice. In fact, it's the both times we channeled in the same room. And that's where Cryon revealed for the first time that Pope Francis is the reincarnate of Francis of Assisi. Now, as I mentioned before, in Texas, and I forgot what year it was, when Cryon said, you're going to get a new pope. And then 13 months later, we had a pope resign, and then the one from Argentina came in, and he was Pope Francis. Well, Cryon then immediately said, this is a wild card. And I sometimes will post the actual words that Cryon said about Pope Francis, our current one. He said, this is the pope that's going to make a difference and is going to change the church. Then when we go to Italy and he starts talking about who Francis was of Assisi, I never knew this story. And Cryon starts to reveal this guy was never a priest, but he was pure. And in his purity, he saw what the Pope was doing, and the Pope he saw was a crook. The Pope was actually selling forgiveness of sins. So if you want to pay, you can have your sins forgiven. And Francis didn't like that at all. And so he went up against the Pope and verbally, and a lot of people saw that the Pope was a crook, and so they followed Francis. So Francis was getting this big following. Not only that, he loved the animals and he was compassionate and all that. And it got the attention of the Pope because some of the priests were, you know, were saying, I want to follow you, Francis. And the Pope then just got a little nuts and then finally came down and they had a meeting. And basically, Francis of Assisi bribed the Pope. He said, if you will do this, I'll do this. And they had this agreement. And the agreement basically was this. The Pope would stop doing that, selling forgiveness of sins, get back to the doctrine that he believed in, that the other popes had. And then Francis would stop all his evangelizing and stuff and follow the Pope. And then in return, the Pope would give him money. Because he wanted to build his hermitage, and he wanted to build it for his animals and his zoo and all of the healings that he was doing. He had a lot of lepers there as well. There were those who saw the stigmata on Francis. You know what stigmata is? And were convinced, and also Cryon said, that was the leprosy that he had caught from those in his hermitage. So all of this to say, the fun thing about it is at the Francis of Assisi Church, do you remember the name?
It's the Basilica.
The Basilica. There's a picture of this. And the guides are saying that there's a picture of a Pope and Francis meeting. And it's so cool to see this. And they've got this long list that Francis is showing and the Pope was showing. We photographed it. We weren't supposed to. But when the guy was, no pictures allowed. It was so interesting. And you raise your camera and go, no photos. I don't know what they were afraid of. if you were picturing. But we did the, I keep looking at her because she took a picture and I took a picture. I finally did it with a phone, like that. And there it is, and you can clearly see this list. And the guides say the list is a list of Francis' sins. This is, you know, and the Pope is, no, it wasn't. It was the list of the bribes, the things that Francis wanted from the Pope. So this is all channeled, and the reincarnate thing is channeled, but this is the attitude of Francis. And one of the things Francis, I love, he realized very quickly that you, if you're going to change the rules of the church, you cannot follow the rules of how you change the rules. You'd have to ask the Vatican rule makers for that. That has a name of whole place in the Vatican where they make the rules, and the last pope came from that place. Forgot exactly what they call that. But what was it? It might have been canon law, but there's a name of those rule makers that actually sit and make judgment on what the Pope wants to do. Well, that enclave, that particular group, by the way, is the ones who said no to, was it?
Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes, that's another term I'm not familiar with. Now, you're giving all these terms, and I'm going to have to remember them. Yes, I know, because they're so good. What I want to tell you was that Pope John II actually wanted to change the pecking order of men and women for priesthood. He wanted women to go through training so they could be priests. And this group said no. So this is the group also that Ratzinger, the Pope that resigned, came out of. So Francis comes in, and you know how he makes changes? On airplanes with the press. And this is where he announced the whole different attitude on gays, forgiveness of this or that, talked about the Jews. All of these things he did with the press. He never asked the Vatican. And because it's for a billion Catholics, they hear the Pope saying it, and then it becomes the law. So this is what he's been doing that's very much like Francis did. Thanks. I know it was a long answer. I warned you.
And there's also the first Pope, I believe, you see him on TED Talks. So if you have a look, check out some of the things. There's a beautiful footage of a young boy who is so distressed and crying, and he asks him to come, and he's whispering in the Pope's ear the question, and the question was, will my father go to hell because he didn't believe in God? And the response from the Pope was so compassionate. He didn't go to the doctrine. He just went to the compassion of comforting this boy. And that is just priceless. So next question, we're going to just go to the back of the room.
Thank you. Yesterday you talked about the higher self, the Merkaba being the vehicle and then being the higher self. I didn't quite understand that. And I have a question how you describe the higher self.
Right. And I don't blame you for not understanding. This is, if you really want to know what the higher self is, you would have to be in a place where we have to suspend linearity. And let me just say, it's like what I also said and what Kryon says, there's no such thing as where. When you're dealing with multidimensional things, because you can't, once you get out of 3D, it's interesting. Actually, we're in 4D, height, width, breadth, and time is number 4. Once you get out of 4D, you would think, well, we go to 5, wouldn't you? And then after that, you think you go to 6. Well, after you get out of 4, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, all. And it does that because once you get out of 4, you suspend linearity. And linearity is counting, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you can't go to the 5th dimension or the 6th. You go into this strange place where you have to suspend things in a row and wares and ideas of places. And the higher self is right in that category. So to really understand the higher self, you've got to get a little strange and say whatever you want to try to get the perception. The reason I mentioned Merkaba is because this is the vehicle that Kryon talks about where you can see the patterning in your soul. And he says this is going to be, when we get in a multi-dimensional invention that can read quantum things, we'll see patterning in Merkabas. And it'll tell you a whole lot about your Akash, your health, all these things. But the actual higher self, although it may live partly in the Merkaba, is everywhere. It is everywhere. And this is something that Kryon has given in channel. And he says that instead of a place where your higher self is, and I'll get to what it is, it is so much everywhere, it starts to explain how we can sense others that are not there, how we can sense others who have passed over who are not there, how twins, for instance, with identical DNA can actually sense things on both sides of the planet. It's a multidimensional part of themselves that they share. So what the higher self actually is, Kryon says defined, is the piece of the creator that belongs to you. And that's as good as I can give it. The Merkaba is, I love that because it helps us to localize, maybe. The Merkaba supposedly is finite. It has a size of about 8 meters. Pretty big. And that means every single one of you is sitting, and that's about 8 feet or so. No, it's 24 feet, 8 meters, is sitting in everybody else's Merkaba. It's big. It's huge. And so that's your influence. And as a psychologist, I think you appreciate this. Have you ever gone to a movie, perhaps alone or with somebody else, and sat down next to somebody you don't know? It's very, very common. And then you got up and moved. Why? There is something, there's some apparatus in your field, if you want to call it, that senses dysfunction, sickness, negativity, fear, joy. And so you're sitting next to somebody who might be sick. That is your Merkaba interfacing with theirs. Any way you want to look at it. This is the ones who are starting to measure coherence now, we're going to get into that, are looking at fields and how far your field would go. And when you talk to Dr. Wolf a little later, she'll tell you about how far the field goes with your heart. This is wonderful information that's been measured. All of these are part of that higher self. Yeah, and it's. I think the relationship is not one is not the other. It's just one is a description of a little bit of where the other resides.
Mm-hmm. Great. Next question right here.
Hello. I'm not sure how to say this, but I understand that the Earth is going through like the Magellan or the Kuiper Belt, and we're getting really flooded with photonic energy. Does this have anything to do with elevating our consciousness or?
This is such a wonderful question. So do you mind if I correct the question?
Thank you.
Okay. What you've described as the photon energy and on the belt and all like that, it's worse than that, much, much worse than that. What I have is a series of slides that I can't show you that would explain it all, and it would have the definitions from the physicists of what's going on. You have to understand just right away that our solar system goes around the galaxy. And in our lifetime and the lifetime of humanity and as much as life has been on the planet, we've only gone a portion of that distance. So all that to say is that we are always in new space. So our solar system is always in places it's never been. But those places in all of our lifetime and everything else has been fairly similar until now. And the astronomers are looking out and saying, something's coming. And that something appears to be a massive amount of energy. Whether it's photon energy or something, when I say it's worse, it's not that. It's radiation. And it's radiation that we have not seen before or identified before. We're coming out of the bubble we used to be in. Now, this is science. This is not metaphysics. This is not what Kryon has said. Kryon talked about this a lot. It was a man named Dieter Brouwer, who is also a mathematician and an author and a German. And this man is the head of some of the highest thinkers and Nobel Prize winners. And he commented on this. And it's a quote, and I just about dropped my jaw because of his comment. He would never be in a meeting like this. And his comment on what is going on, and he says, we are moving into another kind of radiation, he said, that may allow humanity to use the highest percentages of its brains, and it's about time. He saw it like Kryon has channeled it. It's an influence that's going to influence our magnetic grid so that we can advance faster. How about that? Yes, sir. I'm doing this because I'm...
Sure, let's wait for the microphone and you can ask your question.
Because he's asking about the question. And I'm going to continue.
Yes. I don't believe in soulmates because I don't think souls were made in tandem. But I am intrigued by the idea of a consort. And no one's ever, any of the things that I've read, ever talked about consorts.
I haven't heard the word consort, but a consort, but can I just, I want to just go back to finalize the last one. Does that help you on this last question? Did we complete it before we go to consort?
Is it affecting the way we're feeling?
Yes.
All of the aches and pains?
And, and it's starting now because it's there. It's that we mush into these things and it's already affecting especially higher consciousness people. And so if it's aches and pains and you would say, well, what do we do about it? It's temporary. If you recognize what's going on, you know, our field and everything else is moving into other energies. Even the channel today talked about that. We're moving into other, yes. And so it's not, talk to some other people, especially perhaps talk to some younger people who are experiencing it also. Because we tend to, we tend to equate it with age. We say, okay, I'm getting older, therefore I'm getting more achy and all like that. And I've heard this from 20-year-olds. Yeah.
One more clarification.
Yeah.
Is that affecting the Schumann resonance too?
Yes. And that's another question nobody's asking, the Schumann resonance, and I'll get to that. I'm not an authority. Greg Braden is an authority. He's a geologist. The Schumann resonance frequency is not a frequency. It's a group. And the fundamental of that group is one frequency. They talk about all of, but there's many, many frequencies in the Schumann resonance groupage. And so you can't just say the Schumann resonant frequency. And the last time I talked to Greg and he answered this question on stage, he said it is changing. And as a geologist, he said it's always been the same, fairly low for hundreds of years, really, or as long as they measured it, and now it's shifting. So I believe that that is related as well. So that's Gaia differences. So back to the other question. I love this whole idea. Okay, we have the terminology soulmate. We have a terminology twin flames. You probably heard that. You've had all manner of things that would say souls are related or together or whatever. And Kryon comes in and says, this is probably the most complicated thing that you can ever even bring up. Because we look at a soul as, you've got a soul with your name on it. And Kryon says, not exactly. That it is a group. Now there's your consort. It's a group. Every single one of us has a soul grouping. We don't like that because we want the individuality of us. We are a piece of God. This is what we look like in the mirror, and that's us. And we are, in the linearity, we're singular. We are singular. Well, our name, right up to heaven, our name, judgment, our name. And Christ is not like that, that there is a consort. There's a soul grouping, which influences then who you meet, what happens, and if you've been together before, or there's an Akashic remembrance, and so the grouping is affected. When you die, Kryon says, part of you splits out and stays with the people who love you. Now, that means that you're part of their group suddenly. This is really complex. So it's more than just a soulmate or a twin flame or something. And you're right not to believe in that because it's so linear. I love that. We are asked to get out of the linearity, and just back to the higher self question, and think beyond that singularity that we always look at about us being one thing. I love the philosophies of some of the ones that I've met, and especially when you sit and talk to a Hindu or a Buddhist about the one with everything and how they explain things. And it's so unusual. And what makes it so unusual is they really have a handle on getting out of the linearity of it and seeing a much larger picture of who and what we might be in relation to every other soul, every tree, everything. And it's just a beautiful idea. And then Crian says, get used to that, because this then starts to describe your soul. So it's out of my purview of explanation, obviously, but that's as far as I can go with it. It's a lot bigger than we think.
Next question.
Okay, it's kind of in the same line. So I'm wondering if there is one soul that has many aspects, and we think of those aspects as individuals. Is that similar?
It could be, but I haven't heard it addressed that way. Crian has not spoken of it, so I'm not going to speak of it anymore, because I don't want to say anything that Crian has not specifically addressed. Fair? Thank you.
Okay, next question.
My question deals with fiat currency and the crypto technology blockchain that we're going into. I wonder if Crian said anything in respect to that and whether the gold and silver ratios may come back into our monetary system.
When we're talking about those things, a lot of things come up, and the people who don't know, especially blockchain and all of that, that's a cryptology system that is, what would you say, is fairly new, and also is fairly secure. It's brand new. It's already started. It's going to be the heart of perhaps banking. But there's more than that. And Crian says, you're going to start seeing numbers differently. And this then gets into what I'm convinced of, and I'm not going to dwell on this because I could dwell on it a lot, is that he says, when you discover the power of base 12, everything will change. Now, that's not an answer to your question, but that's as good as I've gotten. I know what blockchain is. I know how it works. I'm very impressed with it. I know it's going to be the future for truly secure communication. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you can do it in base 12, and what Crian has said, then you're going to ally yourself with the way nature works, which is all base 12.
Next question.
I'll do you. Yes, mine is related to where we are in the cosmos as well, and that we're moving into this radiation, new radiation. Is it that we are going to be recalibrating to be able to withstand it, and maybe it's not going to bring like more cancer and stuff like that to us?
Now, so we use the word radiation, and the bias is therefore there to see it as we know anything that radiates right now, and it's always dangerous. So let's call it a new field of energy. Science is calling it radiation because by the definition of it, it qualifies. But the bias we have is scary. So let's call it a new energy field we're going into. And what's going to happen, according to both Dieter Broers, who I just gave you that information, and what Crian has said, it affects our magnetic grid. That is where this transfers to. And that is connected to our consciousness. Now, again, remember, I'm very much into the Global Consciousness Project and what HeartMath has discovered, where they now know consciousness is energy because it can affect the magnetic grid. So it goes both ways. So suddenly, there's a link between the magnetic grid of the Earth and how we think. It's also related to astrology. And so in there, I'm getting it. So whatever that field is we're moving into in space is going to affect our magnetic grid and give an allowance for higher thinking. A faster, perhaps more inventions, a better understanding of why we need peace on Earth. A higher consciousness will do that. That's what higher consciousness is all about. So that's how I see it, as opposed to radiation, as we know it. Our cellular structure, I think, is going to be affected more by how we think about it. Crian has always said our cellular structure is apart from the consciousness that we carry, and that's why it's important for our consciousness to address the cells, because they're waiting for the boss to talk, and we're the boss. So the cells are not going to be affected by the radiation like It would be for a machine that radiates and your cells feel it. It's going to be your consciousness that is affected more than. And honestly, there are some who see it as dangerous. Look it up if you want to see. We're moving into a new part of space. Some are just looking at it in a linear way, saying, woe is me, what are we going to do? And then you've got the smart ones who are looking at it and going, wow, this may affect humanity's ability to have peace on the planet. Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Back to the radiation. As Cryan talked about, we live in this sea of electromagnetic radiation with the electromagnetic fields. And as everything's becoming more wireless, we're simply increasing everything with cell towers, whatever. And does he address this at all?
He's not addressed it specifically, and I feel that Cryan would if there was imminent danger. Here's what he has said, which you're not going to expect. That those who are born into this will have eventually an affinity for it, and so their children will deal with it far better than we do if there's an issue. That's wild. It's the same thing he said about pollution and children having larger livers.
Acclimation.
So if there is a problem with it, it's interesting to hear Cryan say that will be dealt with in time. Doesn't make it right. He doesn't make it. If we've got something that's dangerous, we should stop it. But in addition, Cryan says that the kids are going to be, there's going to be acclimation and they're going to live with it. So that's what I know. Yeah. and the twitch. I've noticed a twitch. Right, so. Your name, I love you, you're adequate.
Okay. Next question, hands.
Can you speak on the veil and when someone thinks that they're standing at the veil but hasn't went through yet, what are some of the things that we can do to pass through?
Yeah, there's recent channels on that, and maybe Monica can even help you right now with me. We're talking about, let me rename it, Cryan calls it the wall. Okay? And when we were in the Azores, and perhaps you heard it or not, and that's why you're asking the question or not, but there were two channels on the wall. And it talks about what happens even when meditators and all go up to the veil. And it's so interesting because it's almost rewriting what we think about what the veil is. Number one, let's define it as I know it. The veil is that place where you cannot see beyond with the intellect we have and the emotions we have and with the mind we have. And beyond that veil would be the things that we cannot see yet, not just inventions and all, but spiritual things, like the power we have or perhaps the compassion we're trying to find or things that are hidden a little bit from the veil. So forever we've had this idea that there's a veil that separates us from God. I have a book, Beyond the Veil. So even we have used it. Now here's what Cryan says. Are you aware that the veil is moving? So think of this. For instance, think of the veil as disguising some things. And here comes a new energy. And the veil starts to move back. And it shows us some things we never saw before. Because it moved. So that is like maybe cart before the horse. Most people don't think about the veil as moving. But then, what if you go up to it and you really want to go beyond the veil? And Cryan then has described that and in these two channels called the wall. And it's so fascinating because he even says that the greatest meditators on earth, let's say they're in India, let's say that's all they do all their lives is meditate, 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 meditate. All of their doing is picking up the phone to God and listening to heavy breathing. That they are not getting past just being at that place that is already knocking on the veil. I loved that. And that if you can get beyond that veil, that's where the communication has. You can get beyond the veil. So each one of us specifically has a different, unique veil that we're looking at. And some of those veils are very close to us in belief. We can't even get past the idea of reincarnation or something. And some of the veils are quite far away, and we're going to them because we have all of this belief and all of this training, and we have compassion, and we're light workers, and we're standing there saying, I want to go further. And Christ says, you can't. One of the first things he said, and this was a shocker to me, said, do you want to know how to facilitate going beyond the veil? The first thing is sit down and don't be afraid to be loved. So now we know it's all connected with compassion and love, because that's where you're going. Beyond the veil, that's where you're going. You're not going to go to anything odd or strange. You're going to go right to the love source. Does that help you?
Next question. I'll get to you after her. Yeah.
Do you have any comment on fractal patterns and our interaction with them?
No. Except that Greg Braden has talked about the fractals of time. I showed the book yesterday. We know that there's fractals in absolutely everything. I like the fact that however small you go down, even if you could see atomic structure, there'd probably be fractals. So we know it's a basis of physics and life, and we know that there's got to be secrets there as well. And it's the patterning of the fractals that is going to lead eventually, I think, to some of the inventions that Grant talks about.
Thank you. I want to ask you about for help. The children this morning that we see come in with already an advantage. Those of us who are past the 40-year mark or 50-year mark don't have those advantages. And I feel myself, you've given us a great deal of help in regard to self-talk, to tell yourself, I am you thing, most benevolent outcomes, I request most benevolent outcomes. You have given us great help and tools. But I feel myself constantly flipping in and out. I want tools and help reaching the meld point you have, because whenever I re-enter real world, I am so used to eating with my right hand, as Adaranda yesterday would say.
Just referring to eating with the other hand.
We get so used to doing things one way.
Yes.
Excuse me. Emotional stress. I run around all my life pushing to move energy. Mm-hmm. And I am realizing now that things fall into place in co-creation and meld, if you can get there. But I find myself constantly flipping back and forth.
You're not alone. And I'm going to answer it.
Thank
you're
you.
Not
and
alone.
I don't know how to stay there. I envy the story.
I hear
of
exactly
you,
what you're
right,
saying.
Getting on and getting the airport thing, because yeah, I'm trying to push
right,
real reality.
I would stand here next to Marilyn Harper, and she'll give you the same answer. Yeah. And I don't want to make you wrong or feel bad or anything else, but I will tell you, and I'm going to read you right now, and the problem is you're asking.
Instead of owning.
I listened to you very carefully, and I listened to your question, and it was there twice. I want, I ask, I am, and it was never I am. You're not owning it. Instead of asking, demand it. You are it, and you're going to find it there a lot faster. I'm telling you this because I learned this. I had to go there. I am from a Christian background. We kneel before God and ask for things. That is eating with your right hand. That's eating with your right hand. And so what I had to learn, and it just sounded like super egotism, is I started then demanding to myself, this is what's going to happen because we are part of the Creator. I'm talking to you, behave. So I was owning it with every single cell, with all of my consciousness. I was not asking my cells. I was talking to them in a way that they had to listen because I'm the boss. That's the difference. Yeah. That's right. So that's right. I am you. Now, the reason I refer to Marilyn. Excellent. You do have a hard time. Marilyn has answers. Are you in her course tomorrow?
Yes.
I think when you get
can
there.
Can we ask Marilyn to just
yeah,
chime in?
Yeah, we're going to ask Marilyn as well to chime in here.
I love to hear yeah,
because
Marilyn.
Because she really
she has a lot to contribute.
She's got some exercises as well.
Yeah, we do some exercises tomorrow to help you
And great question, great answer. You know, you do get the opportunity to get beyond what your logical brain is telling you that is happening and really own, just say, you know, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. Tomorrow, we do several exercises to help you distinguish that, to help you understand what it feels like to absolutely trust something that your logical brain is saying, I can't do that. it's one of those things that when we, and it's an opportunity. And as long as we view it as an opportunity, instead of view it as a challenge, you see the difference? Then it gives it hope. Then it says, we can move through this. We can accommodate that. We can teach these cellular bodies new energies and new vibrations that they may not have done for 1,000 years. And that's what we do tomorrow. And it works, as we say in Kansas, it works like a banshee. We don't even know what that means. But it works so well to help us. What we do is we help get that conscious out of the way. So you can own it. So you can just say, I can do this. I know I can do this. And you feel that in every cell of your body. And we do it at a step-by-step process that's so simple that everybody can own it and everybody can experience it. So great answer. Thank you. What a great commercial.
And you're not probably going to understand this. We're out of time, but I want to honor one more question. I want it to be the man in the red shirt. And that's Ben. I know he's asked too many questions for one person, but I like his questions. Because you're a seeker, my friend.
Do we have time for a question from Colin?
We have, all right, Colin and this man. Let's go to the man in the red shirt first.
Next.
I'm sorry, I don't know your name, sir.
You had a comment?
Yeah, because you were commenting our comments.
Well, it has to do with...
Put it in the microphone.
I think they can hear because I'm a pretty loud speaker.
We're recording, so can you...
We're recording it, yes.
Oh, okay. I go walking every other day. I go walk as fast as I can, and I talk to myself. And I mean literally, loudly.
You don't have many friends, do you?
So
I'm sorry.
I come up with what I call walking mantra. And so it self-speaks. So I talk to myself. I say, you know, different things, but it's always something positive. And so I'm thinking that's kind of a...
And that's why I wanted to call on you. That is actually terrific. And we, you know, Monica's written the affirmation cards and it says we're supposed to speak them out loud. Your body listens to what you say.
Yeah.
So don't ask. And there's ways of actually phrasing things if you're going to talk to yourselves. And Dr. Wolf knows that. You can phrase things one way which sounds like you're unsure and another way which sounds like you're actually calling for it to happen. Mantras, this is what it is. But that's all part of that.
So last question.
And Colin, you're last.
Last question.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. No.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I knew. That's right.
I was going to ask a question about base 12, but I'm going to ask a different question.
All right,
given this conversation, which is, could you talk a little bit more about the channels that Kryon gave with the specific affirmations, the things to say to your cells and your cellular structure to actually order things?
I wish I had that, but the way I tell you is you've got to think about everything you say. You can sit down. That's right. There may be a channel where we've given specific things, and Monica may remember which one that was, because I don't remember all the channels. But the one that I like the most that has this is that he said, whatever you say out loud or think out loud is almost like a menu in a restaurant. And that's what you're ordering, and that's what you're going to get. Now start thinking about what you say out loud, because this is your consciousness talking to your body, and it's listening. I am so guilty of certain phrases that I've stopped saying. That was a habit. It was eating with my right hand. And that was things that would happen. I drop stuff or whatever, and I go, oh, great, I knew that would happen. Now, what have I just said to the universe? bring it on. You knew that would happen. It's going to happen again and again and again and again. And you're going to bump your head and whatever. And I realized, my God, I was ordering it on a menu. And so that then made me think about what I say, how I react, even to when somebody says something to me, and how I would react to it. I am actually thinking about how I can reconstruct and rephrase in positive ways, because my body is listening to everything I say, especially when I'm alone and mumble to myself about certain kinds of things. And I've had to learn to eat with my left hand in those ways. And so you do. You start rephrasing and rethinking. And in all of these things, I am careful. I'm never asking for anything, ever. It's me talking to me. That's what I have the answer to that one. Thank you. Now, I have instructions for all of you. I'm going on a break. I know that if you didn't get your question answered, you're thinking about running to the table and asking me anyway, aren't you? I'm not available. Take 30 minutes.